Greetings, and welcome to another edition of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How is everybody doing? This podcast is being recorded on Tuesday, July 25th, 2024. Hello, how are you? I hope you all have had a happy Pride Month. I hope you had a wonderful Juneteenth and a beautiful weekend. We're going to get into it here in just a minute, but first, as always, I want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody who's been listening. Thank you to everybody who's been sharing the podcast. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting me over on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. It's been quite a journey. We're coming up on a year soon. Can you believe it? It's been almost a full year of doing this podcast. You would have thought I got better at it by now. But I'm really grateful for everybody, for your support, for you following. Like I said, you can follow over on Patreon for free to get a bonus episode. And if you would like, you can support the podcast for just $3 a month over on patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Please write into the podcast. Let me know what you think of the podcast in general, what you want to hear in the bonus episodes. If you've got any questions, comments, if you're asking for advice, if you just want to share a little, you know, tete-a-tete, you know, hey, I heard you say this and I disagree, or I heard you say that and I'm 100% with you, or I heard you say that and maybe you need a little nuance to it. Feel free to write me over there by leaving me a message on Patreon. And your comments, questions, and whatnot could be answered on the bonus episodes of the podcast, which is what I want them to be for. Something a little bit more personal and more interactive for the folks who decide they want to throw down $3 a month to help support the podcast and keep this kind of content going. You can also catch me over on Twitch doing video game streaming at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE. And there I've been doing a lot more role-playing games. I've been having a lot of fun playing around with Baldur's Gate 3, even though, again, here we are coming up on almost a year of that game being out, and I still haven't finished it. But I'm enjoying the time and the pace at which I'm able to take it. It's fun for me to kind of take it slow and, you know, enjoy the experience and putter around with it when I have the opportunity. So, yeah, please stop on over there. Recently, I was seen playing some Destiny 2, playing through more of the final shape, which, as much as I hate to admit it, is actually pretty fun and interesting content. I've been enjoying actually going through the campaign for once, because it's more focused on having a three-person fire team go through the story together and experiencing it with one another. I do have to tip a cap to the folks over at Bungie who work on the game, not necessarily the CEOs and the bean counters and the board of directors, but definitely the creative individuals over there at Bungie. I appreciate the work you've put into this over the years. And yeah, I hate it for you that things have been so wonky and weird, but I do have to say that the work that's been done with the final shape is really piquing my interest in keeping our clan involved and invested in playing. So thanks for that. And I've also been playing some more of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, the new remade version of it on the Nintendo Switch. It's a delightful game. It's very involved and invested, and the new touches and flares that they've added to the game have really made it an enjoyable experience for someone like myself, who never got to experience it the first time around on the GameCube. But if you're curious as to what it looks like now, please pop on over and visit me at twitch.tv/linkib. You can also subscribe to the channel there. By the time this reaches your ears, we should be just a couple of days away from the second big box giveaway for the 2024 calendar year. This is the one where I pull out all the stops. Three winners will be decided. Everybody who subscribes over on Twitch, even for just $5.99 a month, you get ad-free viewing. You also get access to all the content, obviously, that I'm putting out, videos on demand, clips and things like that, emotes that are available. And most importantly for you, you'll have a chance to win prizes. And the big box giveaway prize is a solid prize pack that I put together and cultivate over the course of the year. And I find local artisans, I find cool little tchotchkes and gamer-related stuff and things to send out to folks as a way of showing my appreciation for your support. So please feel free to do that over there. And hopefully we'll be able to work something out for Wandering One Studios, for the Wandering One podcast in particular, via Patreon, which is what I like to do, is have a Patreon subscriber giveaway that I would probably do in the same time schedule, you know, every 3 months, give you guys a little something to look forward to. And also, you know, find like maybe like the funniest question or like the best response, or just maybe do a random raffle. I don't know how I want to do it, but I'd hope that we can pull that off over there as well. So now that we've got the house cleaning out the way, how have you guys been? Once again, it's been a week. And yeah, the first 6 months of this year has been the longest decade ever. I think maybe that's just every election cycle, though. And I think that's really one of the things that's driven me to go like, I don't know how much of this podcast I want to dedicate towards politics, because it's important and it impacts our lives, and how much of it I want to just keep light and goofy and weird. So I'm trying to balance it out between the two. And so speaking of goofy, at the very least, what's goofy is this new thing you guys probably heard about via social media or news outlets or maybe TMZ or whatever. Is Justin Timberlake. Oh, man. So if you know me well at all, you know that I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan. And I was also a big NSYNC fan. And one of those guys who, when boy bands really became popular in the late 80s to early 90s, you know, you have your R&B groups, there's a, you know, trio, a quartet of guys, maybe even five, that would get up together and sing songs, the old doo-wop groove kind of thing. And then it went into more of a pop lean into the late 80s, early 90s, especially in the early 90s, between like 92 to 98, 99. There's a real big pop boy band kind of resurgence. But when NSYNC came out on the scene, I had already been through, you know, New Edition, New Kids on the Block, there's so many more that I'm definitely forgetting about. But I remember New Kids on the Block being the big thing when I was young, and like all the girls screaming and going crazy over them. And I'll be honest, I turned into a hater before that was even really a term. I turned into a hater because I was like, man, them boys can't sing better than us. Yeah, you know, me and my crew would get together and yeah, we can all sing too. And then you do it like, yeah, but I mean, you're not so-and-so from the band. I'm like, of course not. Because if I was, I wouldn't be here going to public school with your ass, would I? So I turned into a hater. And then, you know, Backstreet, NSYNC, you know, Color Me Bad, All for One, all these groups started popping up. And I was like, you know what? I actually enjoy this music. It's fun. You know what I mean? It's something you could dance to, something you can bop in the car. Or, you know, if you didn't have a car, you're riding the bus to school and you're Walkman or whatever. I was like, I'm not going to let my jealousy of these people and their stardom and their good fortune to be able to do what they love to do and make money and see the world and all this jazz, I'm not going to let that dull my enjoyment of them. So I became a big NSYNC fan. And then when Justin Timberlake went out on his own, I was following his career pretty closely. And over the years, as he's grown as an adult and as an artist, he's done some other interesting collaborations, you know, with various artists across the spectrum of music. And I just enjoy the man's work, right? But he did some work over the last week that I don't think even he's too proud of. So the incident happened on Tuesday, the 18th, which is why I didn't talk about it last week on the podcast, because it happened in the early Tuesday morning hours. And so I didn't really hit the news cycle until probably like Wednesday or late Tuesday, and I was already done with the podcast, so I didn't catch it. But apparently our boy JT was caught after having one martini, he claimed, and failing a field sobriety test in the Hamptons area of Long Island. He was arrested and arraigned and released without having to post bail about 9 hours afterwards, and he pleaded not guilty. So he's going to court on July 26th, and his attorney comes out with this statement that says, "I look forward to vigorously defending Mr. Timberlake on these allegations. I will have a lot to say at the appropriate time, but I am currently awaiting full discovery from the attorney, a district attorney's office." That's his attorney, Edward Burke Jr. So a little after 12:15 a.m. in Madison Street and Midlane Highway. He drove through a stop sign and failed to stay on the right side of the road, according to the complaint. And he's been pretty radio silent about it for the most part. But then he did break his silence during a concert in Chicago, expressing his support, his thankfulness for the support of his fans, and you know, just people kind of having his back, being like, you know, you made a dumb mistake, and he's just really. I mean, it seems like the guy kind of fell victim to his own fame, maybe in a little bit, in like a small part, and a lot of people were like, well, he's an idiot. He's a moron for driving drunk. I'm like, yeah, I'm not debating that, but the dude has been pretty much, you know, the picture of what you want to see in a celebrity in terms of his public behavior, the way he conducts himself and carries himself for like decades. I mean, you got to think about it. This guy's 43 years old. When's the last time you heard of Justin Timberlake getting into trouble about anything? You just don't hear it. You know what I mean? Dude's been basically batting 1,000 since the Mickey Mouse Club. And here he is. This is the first time he gets popped for something. He's 43 years old, man. He's Justin Timberlake. He's traveled the world, been in movies, TV shows, SNL. He's been all over the place. And this is the one thing he gets popped for. All right. And you might say, you know, well, I mean, he cheated on Britney Spears. Yeah, I'm not here to defend him for anything. Like I said, I'm not white knighting for him or anything like that. But I think that if anything, there's almost every one of us has had some kind of regrettable incident, whether it's revolving around drugs or alcohol or some kind of infidelity. Maybe you lied or stole something, whatever. Maybe you got caught. Maybe you didn't. This dude just got caught. And I'm not saying that he's the bastion of integrity. By and large, the dude's been a pretty decent cat. And so I feel like, you know, when people are joking on him, I'm like, you know, we're only ever just one weird moment away from that being us on the local news. You know what I mean? I know for myself personally, over the years, there have been many. And I won't recount them all here because it would take too long. This podcast would be 3 actual calendar days long. Many incidents that I've had just of stupidity or of lapse in judgment or even just, you know, an alcohol sodden, you know, misstep or whatever that I've had to eat crow over. And thankfully, at that time, I was not internationally famous so that it could be blasted across the front page of every news outlet across the planet. And just the idea that, like, you know, he's some kind of moron, you know, there's Uber and there's this, that, and the other. Again, like I said, I know all that. We all know all that. But you don't have an uncle or a relative of some kind, a close friend, shit, maybe even your partner, could be even you, that did something stupid and reckless and then they got in trouble for it. And you were like, oh, you know, it's going to be okay. Everybody makes mistakes. As long as nobody got hurt, that's what really matters. I know I said that to some people and you would have thought that I, you know, was trying to write off dude for eating babies while he was driving with his feet and his eyes closed, you know, blindfolded. No, I'm just like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. This is just one of the mistakes we know about. You know what I mean? And if he did it 100 times before and never got caught, why do you think that is? Because he never got caught. I mean, do we know if he's been pulled over for another DWI? I don't. I don't hang out with Justin Timberlake like that anymore. We used to be close. We used to be homies. But, you know, fame and celebrity, sometimes people get removed from your orbit. And that's fine. I'm still wishing the best. But yeah, it was just funny to watch how many people were out to try to murder this man. You know what I mean? Like, just in the press, you know, character assassination and whatnot. And I'm like, I love this, you know, this mentality that you can have via social media that you are bulletproof and invisible at the same time. One of those two things has got to be false. You can see plexiglass, my dude, and it ain't even completely bulletproof. So either you bulletproof or you invisible, but you can't be both. And when you start pointing those fingers, right, the old adage goes, you always have three pointing right back at you. So I try to be careful about how I approach this one because I know it's a sensitive issue for some folks because, you kind of conflate celebrity with being able to get away with murder, quite literally in some cases. But I think that this is a dude who just made a dumbass mistake, thinking he was just going to follow his homies home. He's like, we're close. We can drive. It's fine. He got popped. He got in trouble. And that's going to probably be the end of it. I mean, like, is not you're not going to see Justin wearing like, prison blues or any shit like that. But yeah, best of luck to him. And best of luck to anybody out there who ever gets popped for something, just something stupid like this, that you made a mistake, that you shouldn't be out doing what you were doing. And then, you have to moonwalk your way back to getting right back to good. It's not easy. You know what I mean? Even the times when I've been like outed for some shitty behavior that I had to really eat that big old pie full of crow and, apologize and try to make recompense, And so like he's got to do this in public. I couldn't even imagine, dude. Couldn't even imagine. But thankfully, it seems like he's got a pretty decent team of people around him. And I don't mean just his legal team. I mean, his wife, Jessica Biel's been so supportive of him. And, it seems like the fans are really starting to actually like come around and be like, you know what? We love you, dude. We know everybody fucks up. Everybody makes mistakes. You're gonna get past this. Just again, glad nobody got hurt. You know what I mean? Nobody got killed. And it just hopefully it keeps on moving from there. But it's just weird that you would hear Justin Timberlake and DWI in the same sentence. If you were to ask me to roll the dice on anybody from NSYNC, he would have been the last one. You know what I mean? I would have thought it would have been like, maybe Joey Fatone or, Chris Kirkpatrick maybe, but not JT. But hey, man, world's a weird place. Gets weirder by the minute. Now, speaking of drinks, I've been drinking this stuff that I got recently. I think I maybe mentioned it last podcast, Rise Coffee. And again, not necessarily shilling for them because they ain't paying me for nothing. Just a good product that's been good to me. It's a mushroom-based coffee. A bunch of different mushrooms are ground up and turned into this wonderful little hot drink that you can have every day. And I started drinking it, the week I got it, and I took like maybe a day or two off to try to let my system balance out. But I gotta tell you, just this is now like this is day four of drinking this coffee, and it actually does feel good. Like I feel more lucid. I have clean, like unfiltered energy. It's not that kind of nervous, buzzed up energy you get when you have caffeine. It's not that wobbly, shaky, confident energy you get from being out, boozed up or whatever. Also, it's been helping my stomach. My stomach balance seems a little bit more on point when I drink this stuff. And I'm looking forward to see how it affects my overall health over the next couple of weeks as I go through this first bag. But, hats off to the folks over at Rise. Good stuff. Good stuff. And it actually, as it's like you got like a slightly nutty flavor to it, but it doesn't taste like you would think mushrooms would taste, right? Nah, you mix it with like a little bit of honey, a splash of creamer. They call it a Rise Latte. It's pretty yummy. I'm actually having a mug of it right now. So if you hear me pausing, it's just so you don't hear me slurping it down while I'm on the podcast, because that's rude. I think the only thing I will say is kind of like coffee, like normal coffee. It has like a slightly drying effect on your mouth just for a little bit. It's because it's made with like a powder, so it's kind of silty. I think that if I were to strain it through like a percolator or a French press or something, it might be a little bit more clean feeling on the mouth and tongue and teeth. But even that, just like with coffee, you're gonna brush your teeth afterwards, man. You're not gonna walk around with coffee breath all day long. But this does feel really good. Like I can tell my stomach feels a little more settled lately. Actually a lot more settled lately. And that energy again, it's just like a clean feeling energy. The other thing I noticed too is after I've had this in the morning and I go to sleep at night, I sleep a little bit more soundly. I think it's because I'm not trying to like take naps throughout the day, and this kind of keeps you on a nice even keel. And you're slowly able to wind down. So I had some the other day before I went out for a bike ride. And after I did the bike ride, I just felt refreshed. You know what I mean? I felt like energized. Obviously, exercise throws endorphins through your body, which helps produce natural, natural reactions of, alertness. And obviously, the movement of your body and your joints and stuff like that keeps them limber, so you stave off some of the more painful effects of not just growing old, but also exercise in general. The more you move your body, the more it gets used to moving. So trying to do some more of my gamer workouts during my streams, and then people request the gamer workout, doing some push-ups, some sit-ups, some deep knee bends, some stretching. And this coffee's really been helping kind of fuel a little bit of that. Like, I'm not going crazy. I don't have like a weight bench. You're not going to see me like The Rock with like, a 30-pound chain around my neck doing chair dips and bench pressing 350 anytime soon. But I mean, if it can keep me a little bit more energized and able to work out just a little bit, get some activity in every day so I'm not feeling super old and cranky and crotchety and hearing my joints sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies on cold milk. Yeah, it would be good. So I'm enjoying this. Yeah, I've been enjoying that, and I'm super stoked to see how it goes from here. You guys got any kind of health food advice that you want to give? Feel free to hit me up, like I said, on a Wandering One Studios Patreon. You can message me there. If you've tried Rise Coffee, let me know. I might just have to write these dudes myself and be like, hey man, I talk about your stuff on the podcast. Maybe I can get a coupon code for the listeners if they want to try it. That'd be dope. But you can go to their website. They give me a pretty good deal. It's 40% off of 2 bags of this stuff. So I'm set for a good little while. But yeah, if I find something like that and they're willing to, sponsor this podcast, I will not say no, because I've really been enjoying it a lot. Something else I've been enjoying lately, and some of you guys might have already seen this and are already caught up, hopefully, is the new House of the Dragon season that's out on HBO Max or Max or whatever they're calling it this week. Yeah, and it took a little while because my wife and I watched the first episode of the second season, and I'm not going to put any spoilers out there for anybody, so don't worry. Like I said, if I was going to put spoilers on here, you'd see some timestamps so you'd know. But yeah, I'm really excited about the direction of this new season. After going back and rewatching the first season with my wife, it's just, man, the more I watch it, there's one team that like I really kind of lean more towards. It's like, you guys seem like the bad guys at the beginning, and nobody in the show's really ever good necessarily, you know what I mean? There's a couple characters that you like more than others. There's maybe like a handful out of a cast of like dozens. There might be like 5, maybe 10 people at most that are either really good or purely innocent. And they usually are the ones that get the doo-doo end of the stick. I'm not going to say any more than that, but keep your eyes out, because some of the people that you like the most for like the best reasons, just know it's Game of Thrones. Even though it is House of the Dragon, it's essentially in the Game of Thrones universe. Somebody somewhere that you like and that you feel happy, warm, bubbly feelings about, like, oh, they're so wonderful, they're gonna get got. Like, something really messed up is gonna happen to them at some point. It's just the way the show is. I think George R.R. Martin kind of, gets off on building up a character for you to love and to feel like, oh, they're great, and then only to like literally elbow them right in the crotch as far as like the story goes, and you're like, no, why? That was my dude. Yeah, I'm nervous to see how far the other shoe's gonna have to drop before it hits. But I'm just watching the show with bated breath, and I'm enjoying it a lot. Also, it's kind of cool to see more dragons. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a big thing about dragons. I mean, I think dragons are cool just as an idea, but like to see the variety of dragons in this particular show is pretty sweet. So I'm looking forward to next week's episode. I hope you guys are as well. And again, like I said, you got questions, you got ideas, fan theories, maybe write me up over on Patreon. Yeah, that was cool. Another thing that wasn't cool, however, was this thing. It's been going around the city lately, just in my neck of the woods. And this has happened in other places around the globe, I'm sure. But I think it's just been popping off a lot more lately. There's these little inflatable pellets they call orbs You just put them in a little bit of water. They blow up kind of like a airsoft pellet. You can get a little pistol that shoots them. And people have been driving around and just drive-bying innocent pedestrians, you know, and homeowners and whatnot with these guns. Not people. It's usually a bunch of punk teenage kids. And it's been making the news here in the city for the last, like, couple days. It pops up every now and again. More recently because it's been happening a lot. And some of them have been caught on, you know, Ring doorbell cameras, which thank goodness for, like, doorbell cameras, right? But a young lady was walking her kids back in after coming home from, looks like running errands or picking them up from daycare or something. And a group of teenage kids started shooting at her between the cars in her driveway. And, yeah, if you're out there and you know someone who does this, I want you to do me a favor and, take their pellet gun and bop them on the head with it a couple times. Just for their own safety, to be quite honest. Because the real truth of this is, Florida is one of those states in the union that has its own stand your ground laws, right? And while most of these pellet guns are very brightly colored and they're very clearly what looks like a water pistol or, you know, or like an airsoft gun or something of that nature, you could be driving by somebody's neighborhood and it's dark. Because some of these attacks are happening at night too. Some of them during the broad daylight, which is kind of even dumber. Because, I mean, I can see your face. I can see your make and model of your car and your license plate, dude. I'm definitely calling the police. But somebody else might not think it's just worth, you know, calling the police over some prank. If that's all. That's the end of it, right? Somebody might take it as like, I didn't know what he had when he was leaning out the window. I thought I was going to be shot at with a real gun. So I used my real gun. And I shot up a car full of teenagers because they were being stupid. It's not a popular opinion, but it's definitely something that could happen. And I could, unfortunately, see it happening probably sooner in Florida, maybe Texas, than anywhere else in the union. So I would caution you young people out there, if you think this is funny, remember it's not. You know what I mean? This might be cute to do with your friends or whatever, but just doing this to random people on the street, this is a good way to end up in a casket. And the last thing you want is there to be a bunch of, as the song goes, a bunch of slow singing and flower bringing because you guys thought you were going to get a couple of yuck yucks over on TikTok or, you know, on a viral YouTube clip or something of you acting like a bunch of fools. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. They have giant airsoft arenas built so you can go around and do this kind of foolery with your friends, people who are consenting to being, you know, in that situation. But you attack a mother with their kids. Just be grateful she wasn't one of these 2A moms that just happens to be packing a 38 in her waist and she turns around and pops a couple of rounds into that vehicle. Now you don't make it to graduation because you thought it was funny to screw with some lady. That's not anything you want on your conscience. You don't want that. Your friends don't want that to be like, oh, we had to bury Jake. Why? Because we thought we were being cute driving around and we got. You know what I mean? That's not gonna make anybody proud of you. You know what I mean? No one's going to think you're really cool for that. I certainly don't think you're cool for that. I think it's a really punk-ass move. But I also worry that it's going to get some kid killed. And it might even be some kid who's not even doing the shooting. Because usually when this kind of thing happens, there's like a couple of kids in the car. And there's always, always, always in every group of kids, they got one kid who either they bullied into coming along with them to try to quote-unquote toughen them up or make them cool. Or one kid who's like, I'm along for some silly shenanigans. And then the other ones get a wild idea. And he's like, not this kind of silly. I don't want to be a part of this. But he can't jump out the car. You know what I mean? He can't be, there's no bullet shield. There's no like riot shield for him to hide behind. If some pissed off homeowner just comes out with a shotgun and starts spraying up the car. And that poor kid usually is the one that gets it. You know what I mean? They're just out there thinking they're having a good time with the homies. And then somebody's gone now. You know? So if you're out there and you know somebody who's done this, I would encourage you to do anything you can to stop them. Take their stuff, break it, burn it, you know what I mean? Donate it to, you know, an airsoft company, you know, airsoft, you know, arena or whatever. But definitely bop them upside the head with it once or twice and be like, you're a fool for doing this and you could have had us bury your monkey ass. So knock this shit off. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. I've never understood like why that would be fun. you know. Like I said, maybe with your homies, you know what I mean? Like there were times when I was a teenager, you know, even when I was in college, we'd do silly shit, like, you know, get like a when the snow would come, especially when I was in college, it would snow, and you just like grab a snowball and pack it up, and you just run it inside with the cooler, put it in your fridge, and then blast somebody in the head with it when you're walking over to class. You're like, the snow's been gone for like 2 weeks. How did you still have a snowball ready? You know? But I mean, even then, you know, it's usually just your homies. You're not hurting anybody, unless you let that snowball freeze all the way up, then you're in trouble. But you know, we were, the stuff we were doing, largely we knew who we were, we knew what we were doing, and we knew who we were doing it to. You know what I mean? We weren't trying to, you know, scare anybody into thinking they were actually under assault. And I guess in these times, man, it's a crazy, crazy concept to think that that's gonna go over well and somebody's gonna have your back. 'Cause I guarantee you they're not. Now, your mom and dad might do it just because you're their kid, but everybody else is going to look at you like an asshole. And they'll be right. So yeah, mind your business, mind your manners. Keep it, you know, keep it in line there. I don't know, man. It's just, thinking about all this stuff that's going on, you know what I mean? Just the world's always been a crazy place. Let's not act like it's brand new. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to act like this is just new stuff. Like I said, when I was a kid, we did silly shit like this too. We've all made dumb mistakes, you know, and I think that like maybe part of it is just growing older and more mature, hopefully. Part of it is also looking back on the consequences of my own actions, the things that I've done or said that have, you know, either intentionally or unintentionally hurt people or, you know, disenfranchised somebody, put them out. And I think maybe part of that is just me, you know, kind of when I say these things, part of that is me kind of trying to, you know, make up for some of my past mistakes and, you know, and shortcomings. Not that I can, and if I haven't already addressed them to whomever is directly affected, that's something that I have to deal with. But I just don't want to see anybody else do the same stupid shit that I did, right? Like, don't we all want each other to kind of like come together as a society and be better? I mean, I hope so. Sometimes I don't know. And it's also one of the reasons why, even when I talk about political stuff, I try to be honest and open about like where I stand and how I feel. Just looking across both sides of the aisle as somebody who stands pretty firmly near the center, of the American political spectrum, neither one of these sides necessarily has your best interest at heart. Most of us land right in the middle somewhere. Some of us have a little bit more of a conservative viewpoint or a little bit more of a liberal viewpoint or what have you. But most of us kind of sit right in the center of the political spectrum. Don't lean too far to the left, too far to the right. And I think it's kind of crazy that we've allowed as a society, as a country in particular, but as a society of individuals that are supposed to function, you know, under the premise of, you know, we the people, you know what I mean? This idea that Americans stick together and whatnot. You know, you see the country slowly showing its divisions more and more. And I find that like the political process is one of the worst places to see that. Because a lot of times, you know, people say, you can't tell me who to vote for. Ballots are in secret and this, that, and the other. Yeah, that's true. And there's a purpose and a reason for that. You know what I mean? Your confidentiality behind who you decide to vote for or support should be your own. And I dig that. But at the same time, like that still comes out and you'll see it. People of all walks of life are pretty quick to let you know where they stand on a bunch of different issues. And the screwy thing and the scary thing about it is when it finally comes out in the open, you start to get to see people for who they really are. And yeah, it's just been really bizarre to listen to some of the stuff that's been happening out in the world. And I got like a, not a hot take necessarily, but I got one I don't think is going to be super popular with certain people, mostly people on the left and the right. But I think it's well past time we got rid of this two-party system that we have because two-party governance just doesn't work. You know what I mean? It constantly means that one side's yelling at the other side for whatever stupid ass reason. And you need to have a quorum. you can't have a quorum with just two people. You know, there need to be a multiple facets of our government functioning and at work. And I think that the thing that's really time to do is to find a way to fraction everybody of all all the people on both of those quote unquote sides, find a way to collate them into a certain group within that group and then fraction them off that way. And then let them all have to go and duke it out in the political arena. You know, we shouldn't be having to listen to two, septuagenarian, almost octogenarian candidates babble and argue at each other over talking points that nobody gives a shit about. And in the meantime, they're constantly ignoring what's happening to each and every one of us. And I think that that's where some of our own personal dissension comes from. It's because sometimes we allow an ideology or whatever to shape who we are and how we interact with one another. And then the more you start to see other people as other, that's when you get this kind of stuff. Like, let's drive down the street and shoot somebody with pellet guns. Not my mom, not my sister. You know, those aren't my relatives. I don't give a shit what happens to them. You know, you can look at people as so much more other when you don't actually have to think that, like, oh yeah, we're all humans. How would I feel if that happened to me? I mean, there's a huge part of empathy right there. You know what I mean? Being able to insert yourself into another person's scenario without actually having to live through it. And being able to perceive like how that would make you feel, how you'd respond if you were placed in a similar situation. And it's not easy to be empathetic, you know what I mean? And mainly because we're all human beings. And I think innately, we're all driven by self-preservation and self-interest. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're all selfish, but it does mean that like whatever's going to work out best for me, that's the thing that I have to do because I have to survive and I want to continue to move forward in a way that feels comfortable and good to me, right? So, I mean, it's more like a self-interest and self-preservation thing, I think, than it is just pure selfishness. But there is a bit of that mingled in there too. Like if it's not my problem, right, it's easy to walk away from it and not care about it. And I think it's really especially interesting to have this idea pop up during Pride Month, you know, as it pops up all the time. But I mean, to reiterate it again during Pride Month, you know, we don't care about other people until it's your turn, right? Then all of a sudden, that's when we want to know where's my crew at? Where's my people? Who believes in this like I do? And you're like, I mean, when it was happening to me, you didn't give a shit. So why should I care about you right now? And I think that that's one of those things that needs to infiltrate our collective consciousness from the ground all the way up is how would I feel if this happened to me? That do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is not just some shit that you read, you know what I mean, as a parable or, you know, a cute little phrase to say to somebody, you know, when you're trying to teach them about, you know, empathy and, you know, justice and fairness and whatnot. I mean, it should be a core concept of how we treat each other all the time. And, you know, if you don't want to have something bad done to you, don't do bad shit to other people. I mean, that's not to say that it won't happen, but at least when it does happen, I guess if nothing else, you could be like, at least I'm justified in my position because I would never do that. It sounds weird to look at it that way, but I mean, even if you want to put it on that selfish tip or that self-preservation tip, then when people come and be like, oh, what happened? Oh, so-and-so or such-and-such, this happened to me, they did this to me, blah, blah. People are like, man. I know you're not like that. So it's weird that they would come after you. So I got your back. Hey, now you've got supporters because they know you're not some dirtbag, you know? They're like, yeah, this is a generally good person right here. Why would you do this to such a generally good person? But if you're kind of an asshole in the first place, it's not going to go over so great for you. And they're like, yeah, well, you've been such a jerk for so long. I guess it was bound to happen to you sooner or later. You don't want to end up being on that end of it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, you know, Tom's always been kind of a dick. You know, he lets his dog shit in everybody's yard without cleaning it up. He yells at his kids in public and, you know, he treats his wife kind of rude. And and then one time he like took birthday cake at the kids' birthday parties. You know, he took the last two pieces and you're going to save them for, you know, the dad who was working that day and couldn't be there. And Tom's kind of a dickhead. So when somebody eggs his car and shoots him with pellet guns, you don't feel too bad for Tom. You don't want to be Tom. I don't know. This is obviously just me rambling because that's what this podcast is. But yeah, that kind of thing bugs me. It bugs me. Because it's so much easier to kind of like look at other people and just, you know, push them off as that it's not my problem. You know, it doesn't affect me. But it doesn't affect you until it does, right? And the day when it comes around and it's on you and you're up and it's finally come and no one's standing there in your corner, you're going to be like, what the fuck? Well, you know, Tom, remember that birthday cake, dude? Like, yeah, it's that. It's that birthday cake coming back. Hope it was good. Like, yeah, German chocolate cake was my favorite. That's stupid. That's so dumb. But no, it is kind of like that, though. I was also thinking about something recently that happened. And it's like, I don't know all the facts behind this. So what I'm going to give you right now is just broad strokes of stuff that I've heard. This is not reporting. This is not me, again, choosing a side because I don't know what's what. But I'm also kind of curious, and I've asked a couple of people in my local community what they think about what's going on. And I'm getting some feedback, but most of it's kind of, you know, muted or dulled or kind of like how I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? Not trying to pick sides or whatever. But there's a local convention that happens here every year. I'm not going to put the name out there, but you'll know who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about if you hear this and you're from the area. And like a lot of other fan and anime and geek and comic book conventions and sci-fi stuff and whatnot, the pandemic hit a lot of them pretty hard. And so they weren't able to host events the way they normally would. And with the restrictions that needed to be placed on society to kind of keep this pandemic from getting worse than it did get, some losses and sacrifices had to be made. And naturally, because these are business entities, they're looking to try to recoup some of those losses. And unfortunately, what they're doing in some ways, to my understanding, is they're taking it to the people who come to support the, you know, who basically make it. You know what I mean? The vendors, the guests, the cosplayers, you know, the staff, they're kind of making them eat some of the costs of this, or they're having to eat some of the burdens of having extra work without any equivocal raise in pay. And then the vendors have to pass that cost along to the people who come to the conventions. So now their goods and services are priced higher, and it just makes everybody feel bad all the way around. And look, I get it. If you're running these kinds of things, you got to make money, you know? But at a certain point, like how big's it got to be before you say, this is enough and I'm squeezing people? You know what I mean? One of the other things that came out too was that apparently some individual within the organization of this particular event had basically doxed a couple of other vendors and or guests that were there, putting their personal and private information out on the internet for fans to kind of lambast them and harass them. There's been allegations of other untoward incidents, let's say. And those, I can't, like I said, I can't speak to how accurate those reports are. All I can say is that you start to hear enough of this stuff and it starts to make you wonder. Could this all be just hearsay? Absolutely. 100%. And it's not that, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with that concept. I'm not aware that that could be happening at this point. But it makes me kind of wonder, I'd love to be able to talk to the people who are directly affected, you know what I mean? And the people who have been directly accused or who've been put in the crosshairs for this to get some more feedback and have a real open discourse about what it is that's going on. Because these kinds of events are, I mean, they're designed to be fun and engaging for the community. They're designed to be a coming together kind of, you know, for people whose interests don't meet like the quote unquote norm. And that doesn't mean that they're any less valid or meaningful than anything else. But it does mean that in a way you kind of have to protect that a little bit more vigilantly because, you know, because it's not so widely popular or widely accepted, there comes a moment when people go like, well, why do we care? You know, And if you don't own your own convention hall, you don't own your own retail space. And enough of these allegations or incidents keep coming up or keep happening around you, it's going to cause the places where you have hosted these events to eventually go, it's not worth the loss in revenue to rent this whole thing out for people to not come, or for people to be outside boycotting if that happens, or for people to roast us on social media or in the press because we're, you know, doing this event in, you know, for someone else who has this kind of blemish on their reputation, or who's known for taking advantage of people or what have you. I'd love to be able to get a hold of some of the people, like I said, who've been directly affected and get like an open, honest interview with them. That would be very, I think that'd be very enlightening for everybody involved. Because it would give us a chance to sit at the table together and kind of like hash it out and figure out what's going on. Is this true? Is this not? If it's happening, how do we fix it? If it's not, how do we mend whatever has been going on so this situation doesn't continue and people aren't having this negativity constantly flooding in over and around this event that should be a fun, lighthearted thing, you know? And it's one of the reasons why, outside of, you know, the obvious concerns about COVID over the last couple of years, it's one of the reasons why I have stopped going largely to a lot of these in-person convention type events. I just feel like I don't know. And if you dig hard enough, again, I've said this before and other people have said it as well. If you dig hard enough and long enough, just about anything that you're into has got some dirt under its fingernails, right? Whether you're a fan of the NFL, if you like professional golf, if you're into cosplaying and comic book culture, if you're into video gaming, I mean, if you're into fucking, I don't know, roller derby or, you know, pig races or whatever, there's bound to be some dirt under the fingernails of the organization at some point along the way. But I'm curious to see if there's anybody out there who's interested in clearing the air and having a more open discourse and dialogue about what's going on, how we fix it, how we make it better. And there are some events out there, I'm sure, that are probably above board and all the way across, and that's great. If you're out there, I'd love to hear from you too. How do you do it? How do you keep people engaged? How do you keep them coming back? How do you keep like your vendors and your employees and the staff at the place that you're renting, like the convention hall, the hotel, whatever? How do you operate in such a way that people are excited to have you back? They feel solid in their decision to support you. And they are enjoying themselves enough that they're willing to recommend it to, you know, friends, family, coworkers, and, you know, other businesses, saying like, hey, if they want to host an event in your area, you should definitely let them do it because they've been nothing but aces over here. So if you do that, and you know somebody who's like that or whatever, you know, put them in touch with me, have them hit me up on Patreon so I could talk to them. I would love to do that and have an interview of maybe like a couple of convention organizers or cosplayers or vendors, craftspersons, artisans, that kind of thing, to put a little bit more positivity out there. And then also, you know, to highlight the ones who are doing good. We can talk about the negative shit all day long. Lord knows I got enough of that. But if we can show some goodwill and, you know, put something positive out there in the universe, let's do that too. So yeah, hit me up on Patreon. Again, as we're getting ready to wrap up here, don't forget you can stop over there, follow for free, get a free bonus episode, throw down $3, get a bonus episode right in. Ask me some questions, tell me some stuff. You know, you can tell me, you know, your favorite, you know, like we talked about cake. Tell me your favorite cake recipe. Last time I asked if people would tell me what they love or hate about summer. If you have a favorite convention that you go to, what is it and why should I go? That'd be a good one. Hey, I you're in like the tri-state area, you know what I mean? Just, hey, I go to such and such thing over in this city, in this state, you know, if you go there, man, it'd be great to see you. I think you'd enjoy it because of this. I would love to hear some more of that. But hit me up over on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios for your chance to write in and have your comments read on the air. And again, you could catch me on twitch.tv/linkib for video gaming content. Lots of RPG stuff, some occasional first-person shooters, some puzzle games, and then every now and again, some chill games and some art streams, working on some new stuff. I will be having my big box subscriber giveaway at the end of June. So if you want to get in on that, all you have to do is go over to the Twitch channel page. The link's going to be in the description. And you can subscribe for, I think, as little as $5.99 a month. And as long as you're subscribed before the 30th, you'll have a chance to enter for the big box subscriber giveaway. I'd love to see some new faces in there to watch the streams, to hang out and join the community. Lots of wonderful, lovely people. Lots of great chats and silly times. I'm sure you'd enjoy it. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wandering One podcast. And hopefully I'll catch you guys again on the next one next week. And keep your ears peeled. I'll be recording a bonus episode of the podcast very soon. And that'll hit Wandering One's Patreon, which the link is also in the description. In the meantime, be careful out there. The heat wave is real. So make sure you take breaks to get inside, get some shade, drink plenty of water, not just beer, not even just light beer, not soda. Water, actual water. Drink that stuff. It's good for you. It'll keep you alive. Wear sunblock, wear a hat, and yeah, I'll see you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.